the stock market floor to your laptop, we are Voice America Business.
This broadcast is for information purposes only and should not be regarded as a recommendation or an offer to sell or solicitation of an offer to buy securities or investments mentioned herein. This broadcast is the opinion of Jordan Kimmel. At the time of this broadcast, a member of Mr. Kimmel's household owns shares of the company discussed in this program. Additional information on topics discussed herein available upon request.
This is Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Profitable Investing is a show that will take you through the ever-changing world of investing for a profit. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And good morning. Welcome, everybody. Welcome back to Profitable Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And we have a couple of terrific guests lined up for a little bit later on in the show. The award-winning Joe Nocera, business columnist for the New York Times, award-winning, more awards than you want to mention right now. We're going to bring on someone to discuss one of the great, great companies that grew up in America, the Mary Kay Way, the principles from the greatest woman entrepreneur in our country's history. We're going to get to that in a little while. What I want to do, as always, I want to focus in on the markets, the thing that we specialize in here. And I want to share with you, probably this is one of the most interesting weeks I have seen take place in the market in a long time. And here's why. Well, the first thing you have to know about the market, again, is the only thing that's constant, folks, is what? That's right, change. And anybody unwilling to adapt or anyone with their eyes closed is actually going to miss not only opportunities but misdirection. And once you miss the direction of the market and you hold on to old truths, well, folks, you suffer. So let me share with you what's different here, what's new. Well, folks, if I was to tell you that two of the greatest momentum models in the country are flashing bright green buy signals, you'd probably say, wait a second, the market's in trouble here. The market's terrible here. How can you say that? Well, they are, and I'm not saying I am or it is. We follow stocks more than even the market, but the Investor's Business Daily, along with the Dorsey Wright model, are flashing bright and they're flashing green, and what they're saying is this is a new market. We don't know how long the bull will last. Maybe it rolls over and dies next week, but going off all of their proprietary models, this thing is what is called the bull market. Surprise, surprise. When you dig a little bit deeper and you ask and you say, well, we all know that oil's been dramatically awful to all of us, and we know that all that we know is these mining companies, these international companies, and blah, blah, blah. That's the only thing where there's been any market leadership. Well, if I told you to look at the new high and new low list, and the most amount of new lows in the entire market are coming from energy and basic materials and mining, you'd say, wait a second, that's the stuff that's been leading the market for 2.5 years. Well, you'd be right, but there's a big change taking place here. And the second thing is, although, and I've said this again and again, the demographics and all the kind of tea leaves would tell you, healthcare has got to be the place to invest. You got an aging population worldwide. There's a million ways to play healthcare, from pharmaceuticals to nursing homes to home healthcare. There hasn't been any leadership coming out of that group for years. Well, what's the group with the most new highs in the market right now? And it's healthcare. So, folks, there is a world of sea change taking place underneath the marketplace. Their markets come at a moment when there is extreme optimism. Does that make any sense? That's where the top gets put in, folks. The bear market is measured from the very, very top of the market to 20% down from there. And that peak, you never know it when you're sitting there, but that peak that's occurring at that moment during maximum periods of optimism, well, that's the peak of the market. And then down at the trough, down at the bottom, when everyone is despairing and everyone's negative, suddenly the market just doesn't behave as badly and starts to go higher, and people are negative, and the next thing you know, the definition of a bull market is set in, and people not only miss the bottom, they miss the middle. And folks, the best money available to make money in the stock market is immediately following the bear, when things just start to erupt and the news is bad and no one can figure out why the news is as bad and the stock market's doing as well. Well, we're not quite there yet. We might be just past the bottom, or we might just be hitting another lower top, only to be set up with another lower bottom. But I have to tell you, and this again is just my own experience, when you had this level of negative sentiment, and it actually got as bad as it got, well, folks, that's often the time when things just don't go lower, period. They just stop going lower, and they start to go higher. We're going to see which way this works out, but the most important thing that we do here is we just acknowledge the fact that whether we are in a bull or a bear, or wherever the leadership may be coming from, we know there's only a few superlatives of anything. And that means whether they're baseball players or architects, or whether, in fact, they're publicly traded companies. So we dig a little bit deeper. We scratch a little bit deeper. We are only, literally, only interested in those companies that have the most superior cash flow acceleration type metrics, the ones that are not going to cure the world, the ones that are dominating their market. And what happens is, if you generate enough cash flow and your margins continue to accelerate, well, it means you probably have a good idea. It probably means you've got some good management to execute that good idea. And one way or another, you're simply beating the pants off your competitors. In that case, the real question would have to be, why would you even care if we're in a bull market or a bear market? You have to just ride through and understand the fact that these companies are the companies that are dominating. So that's what we try to do. But I will say, when the air is so bad that literally nothing can go up anymore and everything is getting taken down, well, I can understand wanting to take a breather and move some money to the sidelines and just take some deep breaths and watch for new leadership. That's for a whole lot of people that have had tremendous track records do. They just sit and wait. Once that trend gets confirmed and once the market starts to go higher, folks, you got to put the bad news behind you. You got to put the media behind you, and you just have to start running some plays. So that's what we have been doing. We've been fully invested, actually, throughout this awful market. And yes, we are fortunate. The more the market goes our way, we'll call it good luck, but we've been fortunate to significantly being outperforming the market since our funds opened up, since the Magnet Investment Group has started to use the stock selection process that made me famous, the one that they keep bringing back, and now we're doing it with very, 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 very little judgment and just going ahead and executing the business model according to the ultimate theory that there's only a few superlatives. Let's find out who they are and let's run with them. Now, as I continue to write my new book, which is so much fun, we're talking to the top money managers, we're talking to the top authors, we're talking to the top business leaders and the guys have simply made the most money, and there's something that we're going to do, which is basically blow the cover off the fable or the tactic or the concept, whatever you want to call it, of strategic diversification, the thing that actually ensures mediocre returns. And folks, if you want mediocre returns in the stock market, I'm telling you, it's still better than the returns of the bond market or the cash market. But if you could think a little differently and demand for exceptional returns, well, you can't own the whole market. You can't be the diversified approach of taking what you think is very little risk only because you've confused risk with volatility. And as long as you continue to confuse risk with volatility, it's very, very hard to understand why now suddenly globally we are seeing international sovereign funds taking positions in corporations, that's right, not bonds, but buying into real estate and companies with a time horizon of 30 to 50 years. And when you think 30 to 50 years out, folks, volatility gets smaller and smaller, and returns go higher and higher. And we address this in my new article up on our website. A bull is worried, folks, but I'm not worried about the market. Well, I'm going to have to see what I am worried about. Now, what we're going to do now, we're going to shift a little gear. We're going to go to one of the most prized, most journalists in the entire country. We're going to bring on Joe Nocera, the business columnist from the New York Times. Folks, you're in for a treat. Get your chair, get your cup of coffee, get ready. We're taking a quick break. We're going to be right back with Joe Nocera on Voice America Business. You're listening to Profitable Investing. We'll be right back.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Money, money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Magnet Investment Group, LLC, is based in Randolph, New Jersey, and is a registered investment advisory firm providing wealth management for individuals and institutions. Magnet's investment strategy combines aspects of growth, value, and momentum investing to achieve superior long-term risk-adjusted returns. The group applies their proprietary Magnet stock selection process to a variety of client-specified benchmarks and risk tolerance levels. The group is led by Jordan Kimmel with over 20 years' experience in the securities field.
You hear business show after business show all geared towards improving a company's bottom line. But what about your bottom line? How come no one ever talks about that? Finally, a show dedicated to the worker. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, the Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, the Crow Show is aimed specifically at the worker and their environment. From work skills and technology to dealing with bosses and coworkers, the Crow Show will give you insight on how to survive and prosper in today's workplace. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, the Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, Voice America Business.
With thousands of homes destroyed or damaged by fire, lots of people are wondering what to do next. If you are a wildfire survivor, SoCalHelp.org can help you find support and decide what to do, right now, wherever you are. This easy-to-use website is a place you can go to get immediate help with food, shelter, and important medications, and start getting your life back on track. Get help now with insurance, legal issues, and find professional services like doctors and counselors. You can access contact information for national agencies, hotlines, and services that have the resources you need. You can also connect with other survivors and people who can help. For the answers and support you need to rebuild, visit SoCalHelp.org.
You hear business show after business show all geared towards improving a company's bottom line. But what about your bottom line? How come no one ever talks about that? Finally, a show dedicated to the worker. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, the Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, the Crow Show is aimed specifically at the worker and their environment. From work skills and technology to dealing with bosses and coworkers, the Crow Show will give you insight on how to survive and prosper in today's workplace. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, the Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business, Voice America Business.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back, everybody. Welcome to Profitable Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And folks, we're in for a little bit of a treat right now. We're going to bring on Joe Nocera. And folks, if you don't read the New York Times, I guess it's time to start. But if you don't know the name, this is one of the most award-winning journalists in the United States. I love the name. Gerald Loeb, he's won two of those awards. We read him every week in the New York Times. We're looking forward to bringing him on. Do we have Joe out there yet?
We certainly do.
Hey, Joe, thanks so much for joining us. It's really a pleasure to have you.
Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
All right. Well, listen, let me just say that, you know, I read through your bio, but more importantly, I read your columns in the Times. And, you know, as the book says and talks about, a lot of people are consumed with the numbers of business, but it's really these big, big, larger-than-life color personalities that are running the country and running the companies. And as with your position in journalism, I think you get it, access to them that simply most people don't. And your book is a collection of some of your articles and the insights of the people. And I'm not sure where to get started, but I know where I want to get started.
Okay, where do you want to get started?
A little bit is everyone admires the name Warren Buffett, and he's probably one of the most written about individuals. People talk about his returns. Can you share with our listeners what you decided to look at with Warren Buffett and why and what?
Well, there's several things about Warren Buffett that makes him a really appealing character. One is he's very down to earth. He's very human. He's funny. He likes Dairy Queen. He likes hamburgers. You know, he doesn't have any pretension. He's never left Omaha, Nebraska. But, you know, he is a genius. He's an investing genius. He's not, you know, his success is not accidental. And the point that I was trying to make in the article is that for all the ways that he just resembles the common man, he has an ability in terms of buying and selling stock and understanding balance sheets and figuring out investments that the rest of us do not have and will never have. And, you know, it separates him from the vast body of Americans. And I mean this both from an intellectual standpoint, just kind of the brain power required to figure this stuff out, but also from an emotional point of view. In other words, buying and selling stocks requires a psychological cast of mind that most people simply don't have.
Right, and no question, it's when to wiggle, the idea of value stocks coming down so you could actually buy them. Well, that's when other people start to sweat.
That's right. He'll double down. You know, a really good example of this is Anheuser-Busch. You know, he read their annual report for 20 years before he decided to buy the stock.
That's incredible. The patience, I mean, he's an incredible larger-than-life character, and I think that one of the things I think about is he plays kind of a country boy with no computers, but you said it, he's so insightful, and he's brilliant, and he's a genius, and does set him apart.
Right.
But there's another
I think the whole thing about no computers and living in Omaha actually works to his advantage, because a lot of the sort of jabbering about the market, he just opts out of. It doesn't affect him. He doesn't deal with it. So, you know, he doesn't watch CNBC every day, you know?
And he's not thinking like everyone else. He's not polluted with the exact same kind of mainstream thinking. And I want to bring in another character. He's also larger than life. And, you know, a lot of times people look better than they appear. They look worse than they appear. You have a pretty, pretty strong take on a guy named Steve Jobs over at whether it's Apple, and so, again, with some access that you have that other people simply don't have, I'd love you to share some insights that you found on Mr. Jobs maybe some people miss.
Well, first of all, let me say, I do think he's a marketing genius, and I do think that what he has done since he came back to Apple is nothing short of a miracle. I mean, the creation of the iPod, the creation of the iPhone, I mean, it's just really extraordinary. Mac computer sales may actually we're looking at a real possibility in the next 4 or 5 years that Macintosh will have 10% of the computer market in the United States, which is extraordinary when you consider where they came from, like 1 or 2% of the market. So that's really, so let's give them credit. Now, you know, what is my case against Steve Jobs? I believe that he's one of the most arrogant people on the face of the earth. And I believe that the company is an arrogant company. I don't really think they treat consumers particularly well. I think that they, you know, I think their products are very high priced. I think that they're, you know, I just have a lot of problems with the way they run that company. And they're getting away with it, if you can call it that, because their products are really great products that people really lust after and want. But, you know, if they ever really got a real competitor that was more consumer-friendly, I think they'd have a problem.
Right. I think it's a very excellent read on the individual. He is absolutely a genius. I've read one of the commencement speeches he's made, which I think is just a great piece of literature. But the fact
is...
That's a famous speech he made.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here right now. What I wanted to do, too, is there's a really interesting aspect of the business. There's a gentleman's name who actually doesn't come to the front, but I think you address him in your book. He's a gentleman who's, I call him that, I think I'm using the word loosely, a lawyer who went ahead and you know, one of the most litigious lawyers against American companies, and I think a couple of the, I think him in particular, got caught bribing witnesses and has stepped down and lost his law license. Is that guy in your book?
Dickie Scruggs?
Yes.
No, he's not. Another guy, though, is, and that's Bill Larrack, who's also in jail after having spent a life suing companies. And he went to jail because of the way he gathered clients, which was illegal, and he got caught. I mean, it's really been interesting lately. You know, three of the most famous plaintiff lawyers in the country are all in jail.
Right, that's what I wanted to bring up. I mean, Bill Larrack and Dickie Scruggs.
And it's really a terrible stain on these guys, the people who sue companies. And it's really a bad thing.
Let me tell you one thing, Joe, I'll share with you. I have two boys at home. I tell them they could be whatever they want in the world. They just can't be lawyers.
Say that again.
I have my two boys at home. I told them they could do anything they want when they grow up. They just can't be lawyers.
Well, there you go. I don't know about that.
But let me bring this question up to you. This is a really fascinating thing. There's a thing called like the magazine jinx, being on the cover of a magazine. And so many cases, whether it's a company, I'm not talking about putting a bear on, you know, at the bottom. I'm talking about individuals like these lawyers or individual companies, when they make the cover and all of a sudden bad things seem to happen. I don't know if you believe in that or if you believe there's a reason that happens.
I have one of the things that happens is that journalists, just like everybody else, get caught up in fads and in phases. So, you know, journalists, like everybody else, went crazy over the Internet in 1999, 2000, just as it was topping out. The same thing with the stock market. You know, so many times when it's on the cover, you know, the great bull market is on the cover, that's almost signals the top for the market, and it's about to go down. There's a famous one in 1987 where Fortune put George Soros on the cover saying something like, the best is yet to come. And 3 weeks later, we had Black Monday when the stock market lost 23% of its value. That's like a classic. So I don't think it's a jinx or anything. I just think it's not like the Sports Illustrated jinx. It's just that, you know, reporters get caught up in things just like everybody else. So when we're in a bubble, reporters kind of get caught up in the bubble too and have the same mindset. And it's inevitable that they're going to reflect that on their covers.
Right, and it's just the opposite, again, where we started the conversation with Warren Buffett, who's able to zag when everyone wants to zig. And it really takes a unique personality to do that. Now, in your book,
I couldn't agree
Good Guys and the Bad Guys, you profiled 20 different guys. Who did I not ask you about that you want to share kind of a funny story about?
Well, I mean, you should, we should probably talk a little bit about Boone Pickens, who's a pretty funny guy, and who also is probably the major character in my book, the very first guy. He's the very first businessman I ever profiled almost 30 years ago, and before he was famous. And, you know, now he's out there with the Pickens plan, you know, attempting to force the presidential candidates to talk about energy, which I think is a really great and important thing. And he's 80 years old.
Right, and I remember his little Mesa Petroleum when I've been
business
since now 25 years, so he really has become increasingly larger during his career, and
he's also become increasingly richer. He has made more money, way more money, between the ages of 70 and 80 than he made in the rest of his life combined. He's a billionaire now, and he wasn't even close to that when he first started his commodities fund, you know, his hedge fund made him all this money.
Right. Now, do you stay in touch with him?
Oh, yeah. I'm in touch with him a fair amount. Yeah. No, we have a good, I mean, he's a fun guy to talk to. He's very funny. He's a lot of fun. The New York Times did a Q&A with him just last Sunday in the newspaper that's worth looking up. They asked him what was so great about his energy plan. And he said, my dad always told me, a fool with a plan will beat a genius with no plan any day. And he said, I'm just the only guy who's got a plan out there.
Right, well, that's just something about America getting an energy plan one of these days, huh?
Right. Yeah, so. Anyway. I'm having a hard time. You're suddenly gone tinny on me. I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Sorry, my friend.
I'm really sorry to do this, but I can't hear a word you're saying. There's something screwy with the phone line. So I think we're going to have to call it a day.
Okay.
All right?
Oh, you got it. Thanks for joining us.
Anyway, and it was a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. We're going to be right back with more Voice America. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Later. Bye-bye.
Money, up-to-date business and financial news. Money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Everyone faces conflict at home, at work, in the community, in the world. This show is about how to fix those conflicts with practical tips and techniques. Doug Knoll brings to the internet airwaves the first of its kind, a show that teaches peaceful resolution to life's daily battles. That's Fix Your Conflicts, broadcasting live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Our team of investment professionals, supported by our quantitative magnet stock selection process, is committed to the goal of providing excess market returns to clients around the world. We target the fastest growing companies that are still trading at a discount to their intrinsic value. Companies in this category are likely to enjoy dynamic earnings growth. We call these companies magnets. They tend to simulate investor response and create powerful returns. The value-added benefit of magnets' quantitative analysis and portfolio management has been extraordinary. After ranking all eligible companies, we only buy less than the top 1% of the companies we monitor. The first step involves quantitative analysis of individual companies. Often special situation companies with a market niche are captured by our screening process. Our strategy is intended to take advantage of our global economy while achieving long-term capital appreciation.
I'm Paul Hopkins, CEO of Farmers Insurance, and a proud sponsor of March of Dimes' premier walking event, March for Babies, formerly known as Walk America. More babies begin healthy lives because of March of Dimes' research and programs. And with farmers' support, we can do even more for families all over America. One day, all babies will be born healthy. but we have to walk to get there. Join the March for Babies. Sign up at marchforbabies.org.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back, everybody, to Profitable Investing with me, your host. And we're going to go to a great little subject and a wonderful, bigger-than-life personality. We have on Rhonda Shasteen from the Mary Kay Way. And Rhonda, thanks so much for joining us. Rhonda, you out there? All right, well, thanks so much for joining us today. And let me just first share with you, we use a mathematical model to find and screen companies. But in the word magnet, the M actually stands for management. And it's the person on top, the person who's running the organization that often makes the bigger difference. And in this case, Mary Kay certainly led the way. Now, anybody who knows literature and knows America, knows our past, knows about the Pink Cadillac and Mary Kay Way. And I appreciate you coming to join us. And first of all, let us know who you are within the Mary Kay organization, and let's get right into the organization and who Mary was.
Well, thank you, Jordan. I am the Chief Marketing Officer here at Mary Kay. I've been with the company just shy of 24 years and had the tremendous privilege of working side-by-side with our founder, Mary Kay Ash, for about 10 of those years prior to her illness and then, of course, her death in 2001. So I saw firsthand how her management style, her incredible vision, and her leadership skills shaped this company and impacted the leadership style of our entire organization. And I know without a doubt that is the single largest contributing factor to our success now for 45 years.
Right, and there's really no question that she was in many ways very real, but she's also almost larger than life. And what she was able to accomplish and how many people she was able to inspire, and then as the business got bigger and bigger to run it so well, share a couple of, whether it's her marketing or her personality or her drive, what do you think that you know, what do you want to talk about?
Well, first of all, there were three things I think that set Mary Kay Ash apart from her contemporaries at the time. You know, I mean, let's go back to 1963 when she founded our company, and women's place in business at that point in time was very different than what we experience today. So I think the first thing was her progressive thinking and her vision for women in business. And she gave women an opportunity to invest in themselves when other people were not investing in women. And, you know, again, that was very visionary and progressive at that point in time. So that was one factor. I think the second factor was her incredible ability to breathe belief into other people before they believed in themselves. And just woman after woman who has achieved success in our company, they often say that they were shy and not self-confident, and Mary Kay believed that they could do it before they believed it themselves, and they relied on that belief to achieve the success that they accomplished. And then the third thing was that she removed herself from the equation. She was always focused on the other person. She believed from the very beginning that it was our people that were going to make the difference to our business. I heard her say so many times, you know, take all my assets, take the building, take the product line, take whatever you want, but leave me the people, and I will be successful again.
Right. What a great, great mantra to have, and I think she hit it right on the head. And she could operate it out of any city or any office building. Ultimately, it was the people. And there also had to be a great organization that she built that people were able to come in without experience, say, in sales or business, and then develop the incredible success that she allowed individuals to reap for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this new book, The Mary Kay Way, which I'll have to say debuted as number 11 on the Wall Street Journal bestseller list, you know, on the cover it says, Timeless Principles from America's Greatest Woman Entrepreneur. And that's, I think, another important factor about Mary Kay is that she was very clear in what was important to her and how she wanted to develop and lead a principle-centered company. So many times today, I think business leaders and companies tend to shift with the wind. You know, whatever the current way of thinking is today, whatever the current operating style, business philosophy, let's go with that. And Mary Kay was just stuck to her principles like no one I've ever seen before at that level of leadership. And she was enabled to embody those same principles in everyone that became a part of our company. And I think that's why we continue to be so successful even now, 7 years after her passing.
Right. You know, and what you said, you know, is the next point I wanted to actually go to, because too many people, and we just had a journalist on before, talked about the three greatest trial lawyers in this country are all sitting in jail right now. They just didn't have the principles.
Mm-hmm.
They were ruthless and cutthroat. The last chapter in the book is as easy as it gets, or it should be as easy as it gets. The title is Live by the Golden Rule on and off the job. Don't be a hypocrite. Talk about that and with her life and how she instilled that into the corporation.
Well, you know, one of the things that Mary Kay Ash experienced in her own career prior to founding our company was that at that point in time, to be successful in business, many times you had to sacrifice things that were important to you, maybe shift your priorities. And a lot of times, particularly she found in women and in herself certainly, that caused not only stress, but a person wasn't being true to themselves. So in achieving business success, they lost their personal self in the process. And she knew that she, number one, was not going to be willing to do that herself. And number two, she felt like that all women, no woman should have to sacrifice and lose herself in the process of becoming successful in the business world.
Right, and let me just add to that. I'd say that is every bit as true for every man, woman, and child out there. If you could not look in the mirror and respect yourself, it doesn't matter how much money you make or how you're making it. It's all a matter of the golden rule, and you know it seems to be that was her culture, that was the corporate culture, and cultures like that can live intergenerationally. And it's amazing how successful this company continues. Let me ask you about the leadership that took over. It's not family, right? You talk about promoting from within, developing people from within. You're there over 20 years. I would have to guess there's a big population in the corporate culture that has been there and considers it their lifetime job.
Absolutely. We have more than 40% of our U.S.-based employees at the company have been with us longer than 10 years. You know, Mary Kay believed very strongly in developing people from within and that when you give people the opportunity, they will always rise to the occasion. So we have so many people here who started in entry-level jobs in the company and are now in middle management, vice presidents. Myself, I started as an administrative assistant 24 years ago, and today I'm our chief marketing officer. And, you know, that doesn't happen too often these days. So that's an incredible testament to the company's commitment to developing people, realizing the uniqueness of our culture, and how important that is to maintain, to continue to achieve success.
Right. You know, and it sounds so simple, and it's almost laughable when you hear about corporations talking about how hard it is to retain good people. Well, if you treat them right and you give them the right opportunities, I'm not sure it's all that difficult. There's another chapter in the book I want to just touch on briefly because I think that too many people confuse the word risk
and they don't take enough risk where they actually need to. And it talks about Chapter 16, it's called Be a Risk Taker, and encouraging people to take risks. And that might sound scary to some, but tell us why it's not so scary and why it's essential.
Well, when Mary Kay founded our company in 1963, she did so 30 days after her husband passed away of a heart attack at her kitchen breakfast table. She took her last $5,000 in life savings and the hand of her 20-year-old son, Richard Rogers, and decided to invest everything in this vision that she had for a company. So Mary Kay herself took the ultimate risk in founding our company. And so it's a part of our DNA. Certainly it is an integral part of business success today. In times like these, when things are changing so rapidly and you never know what's around the corner in the business environment, you have to take risks as a corporation. One of our leadership principles that we talk about here at Mary Kay is don't judge people by their last time at bat. Judge them by their batting average. People are going to make mistakes. If they're not making mistakes, they're not taking enough risk, and they're never going to grow. And you have to let people grow. So taking risks is imperative for success.
Well, Rhonda, you summed it up beautifully. That music in our ear means, unfortunately, we have to go to commercial. But the Mary Kay Way, timeless principles from America's greatest woman entrepreneur. Rhonda, thank you so much for joining us in another 100 years of success, the Mary Kay Way.
Thank you, Jordan. Have a wonderful day.
All right, and thank you. And, folks, we're going to be right back. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more profitable investing. Stick with us.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll-free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Self-leadership is an important part of corporate leadership. In the hustle and bustle world we live in, we need to be reminded that in all failures and successes, we are the common denominators. Each week, let Daniel Gutierrez help bring you the tools you need to manage self-leadership, resulting in success. Make your mark in your industry. Make sure you listen to Right Here, Right Now. Brought to you by Wachovia Bank, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Business Channel.
Magnet Investment Group, LLC, is based in Randolph, New Jersey, and is a registered investment advisory firm providing wealth management for individuals and institutions. Magnet's investment strategy combines aspects of growth, value, and momentum investing to achieve superior long-term risk-adjusted returns. The group applies their proprietary Magnet stock selection process to a variety of client-specified benchmarks and risk tolerance levels. The group is led by Jordan Kimmel with over 20 years' experience in the securities field.
Is your job heavenly or closer to hell on earth? Maybe it's time you stop waiting on employers to make you satisfied and learn how to recognize your own career contentment. Jeff Garten and his expert guests show you how every Thursday at 12 noon Pacific when you tune into Career Contentment Radio on the Voice America Business Radio Network. Contentment is yours to control and easier to achieve than happiness or satisfaction.
Sell, buy, sell. All we talk about is money. Talk to an expert. Call now. Call now. Toll free 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And, folks, welcome back, everybody, to Profitable Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And we touched on a couple things with our guests that I think are very important to me. And in the Mary Kay Way, it's as simple as it possibly gets. It's the golden rule. It's respect. It's treating people right. It's giving them not necessarily the best product, the cheapest product, making them feel like they actually want to do business with you, making them feel like they're not getting taken advantage of in any way, shape, or form. And in this, that's what business really is all about. What we learned in this business a long time ago, it's, it comes down to the most single important thing with me anyway, is not how smart you are. That's not what's so critical to me when I hire people. It's all a matter of honesty and hard work and integrity. And if you take that approach in everything you do, it's amazing kind of how many little things start to work out right. Now, there's an article that I just wrote, and I sent it over to a couple of guys in the media because I thought it was absolutely critical. And I wrote an article called "This Bull is Worried." And I knew that would catch their attention because they want to always find a guy who's been bullish and now who's not. Now he's worried. What the heck's he worried about? But I say right away in the article, what I'm not worried about actually is the stock market whatsoever. And I remind everybody, in fact, if you don't know it, and I don't care how they count it, we are actually in a recession right now. We have been in a bear market by definition, and folks, if you don't know it, just look at your statements. If you're in some of the broadly diversified funds, or if you're in certain financial sectors, or in fact, most every sector has now taken its turn in the doghouse to a point where if you haven't lost, you don't feel a bear market out there, you're actually different than rest. But if you look at the spending and you look at the problem, so is that what I'm worried about? No, not whatsoever, because I actually really probably deeper than most anybody else out there believe that the free market is spreading so quickly and so rapidly and so powerfully that the demand for basically every single good, whether it's commodities, as we know already, in oil and gas, whether it will be for financial services or food or clothing or refrigerators, you name it, there's going to be a market so much bigger than it is right now that if you are one of the winners, you do run your company right, the opportunities are exceptional. So again, what am I so worried about? Well, what I'm worried about is this thing called integrity. And this thing that whether or when or how, in fact, Wall Street can ever earn back some of the credibility and reputation that it's lost over the last 10 years. And while this is maybe not so bad for me, because guys with credibility and guys with integrity stand out a little bit differently, 2 weeks ago when the SEC came out with a very stern pronouncement that illegal shorting will no longer be tolerated on the following 16 stocks, they made a mockery out of themselves. What they basically said is, those guys who are involved in illegal funding of small companies and death spirals and all kinds of ugly words that are out there that are absolutely destroying America, well, you can continue to do that on all the rest of the market. You just can't do it on these 16 stocks anymore. Well, if it's illegal to begin with, why are they talking about them starting to enforce it? Why haven't they enforced it? And why are they going to turn around and start enforcing it on just 16 publicly traded companies, folks? It was the same question that came up in the mutual fund management world, when nearly the entire industry was indicted and pleaded guilty to trading after 4 p.m. Well, what was unclear about 4 p.m.? The bell rings, you either lost money or made money, you positioned yourself better or worse for the following day, but at 8 and 9 p.m., who was trying to put trades through and thinking they wouldn't get caught anyway? I mean, how stupid can you be? In how can you actually lose that trust? And then when all of the earnings manipulation that I talked about back in 1997 and 1998 goes on the record and actually gets exposed, the investment banking gets exposed because it's confused with investment research, well, how in that public light of scrutiny, can now thousands of companies turn around and start illegally backdating options for their management? At what point does the public say, I don't care how well I feel about my job, how secure I feel about my income, I'm not giving any money to anybody in Wall Street to invest. I'm going to put an addition on my home. I'm going to buy a second home. I'm going to invest in anything and everything but these scoundrels down on Wall Street. And when you lose that kind of public trust, folks, it doesn't matter how good your company is because people don't believe you anymore. So the number one thing I'm worried about is when do we learn enough to realize trust is more important than your quarterly earnings report, folks? The second thing I told them in the article I'm concerned about is this absolute media frenzy towards making sure everybody believes 90% of everything is actually horrible and the sky is falling. Well, I'm not going to get as much worked up. I think I got blood coming out of my forehead right now, and I'm not going to go there. But the third thing I'm going to tell you, and I want you to go to magnetinvesting.com. We have put up basically all my recent articles. We put up maybe 15 or 20 recent television shows telling it like it is, and you click on magnetinvesting.com, you go to the media section, and all these articles and appearances are there for you at your convenience. And, folks, the third thing that I just talked about, because I want to get this out, it's important, is that my fear is that the public holding period for securities is going to continue along this ludicrous process of going from 3 years to 3 months to 3 days to 3 hours to 3 minutes. And, folks, this is the stupidest way to invest I have ever heard. And what you'll hear people saying, well, if you can't get out at the end of the day, if you're not going to get out at the end of the day, well, why would you get in? And that's not investing. That is ludicrous. It's led to increased volatility. It's led to all kinds of problems. It goes into the idea that you can actually look at a chart and invest rather than understand what a company actually even does to make profits, whether they do make profits, what do they make, who their competitors are. This is actually how the biggest money that has ever made money on Wall Street has done it. And they can actually do it in a sustainable fashion because, as I've talked about, the world of few superlatives, well, the names don't change every day. Things do change and things come and go, but not in the span of 3 minutes or 3 hours. So I just urge folks to read this article about A Bull Is Worried because it's very, very short. A lot of the articles we write are now in the magazines, the major journals, whether you've been reading, seeing me in Equities Magazine or this month's cover of Dick Davis Digest. But, folks, it's so important to gain some respect and trust back. That's what's going to turn the corner, and yes, this bear market is going to be followed by one of the strongest bull markets we have ever seen because simply there's more people involved, there's more cash on the sidelines, there's more opportunity than, frankly, any time I've ever seen. But it's important that we do go through retrenchments, we do go through bear markets to kind of clears the air for new bull market. Think in terms of forestry. For a long time, they try to do a certain thing with forestry and pare back things and pare back brush. And now when a fire breaks out in California, it engulfs the whole community because, frankly, the whole ecosystem has changed. Bear markets are great for purging out weak hand holders, purging out overvaluation in the stock market, and bear markets are just as important as bull markets. The fact is bull markets are a little bit more fun for the public. Bear markets are where opportunity gets created, folks. If you don't ever understand the simple concept, you buy when there's blood on the street, you buy during periods of maximum pessimism, and you pay a very dear price for a rosy scenario. Think about those things. Think about where we are kind of psychologically, and then ask yourself a question. If you could find a company that was helping auto manufacturers to have more efficient cars, and they're making money hand over fist, why would you care about the next interest rate move, folks? So again, we're not going to give you the names. We're going to urge you to get involved. Give us a phone call if we can help you. Come to the website, download the articles. Tell your friends about this show. Tune in to the last few to make sure you get in tune with where we are. And we'll see you right here at the same time on Voice America Business. Folks, have a profitable week ahead. We'll see you soon, folks. Stay green, stay profitable. We'll see you soon. Bye now.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Tune in for another exciting hour of profitable investing right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.